Good morning, Christ the King. And I want to welcome you to worship today. And it's a great day to be in here and to worship and to hear God's word and sing God's music. And so it's just an amazing thing. And I am Pastor Bill McKinley, the pastor for Youth and Care Ministry here. And Pastor Craig and several other members, as we saw, are in Burundi. I'm going to have a hard time following Pastor Eric's message there and singing there. So I may just sit down and we could all go home. No. You have to listen to me. So today we will be concluding our series on friends and friendship. And I'm looking forward today and following up with Pastor Judd from last week. And so today we're going to talk about we do our work, the Holy Spirit does his. That's how we're going to grow together. So friends. So, when you're a little guy or gal, four and five, three, four, five, it doesn't matter who you play with. Because don't you just sort of play with everyone? I mean, you think about it. It doesn't matter what color, what ethnic background, what socioeconomic status. So you go, be my friend. And what do you say? Okay. And you go and play. As you get older, it gets a little harder to be friends. Let me ask you, who remembers like the name of their very first friend? Really? Well, you guys have shorter experience than my, but I'm 25, and so I see you all laughing down here. All right, I almost said 41. I'm actually 51, and so my friendships. I still remember that I was thinking about this message for the last couple weeks, and my very first friends that I remember, Mike Call was his name, and Doug Ivins and Jerry Kelly, the four of us. We're pretty inseparable in elementary school and over each other's house and, we'd get in trouble together from our parents and, jump off buildings and all this type of stuff together. And I don't know where they are anymore. I mean, this was, 40 plus years ago. And I looked, and actually this last week, I kind of went on Facebook and typed in their names. And sure, why not? Thank you. And I looked in their names on Facebook and I really couldn't find them. There's a bunch of my calls. Didn't look like he did when he was like 9, so I don't know if it's him or not. Friends, and as we get older, especially as we get older in middle school, high school, and above, friendships become harder to do. And it's really easy to have really surface friends. It's really easy, I think, as a guy, to have friends. We're going to talk about, how bad the Packers are doing this year, or how good the Angels should be doing next year because they didn't do good this year, or how bad the Red Sox just, they stink. So it's real easy. I'm picking on specific people in the congregation at the moment. It's real easy to talk about those things, or girls, or cars. But it's harder to get deeper into those relationships that God is really calling us into, really calling us into. So I want to start a story that happened about 5 years ago. I moved here from California. November 17th is my first day here of 2013. So I moved from California not knowing any single person here beyond the people who interviewed me. And I'm sorry, this thing is like a little loose here. Who interviewed me. And so I flew out here. I mean, my closest relatives at the time were in Ohio, and so I didn't know anyone east of Ohio, and especially in the south here. And so moved here November 17th. And a week later was what holiday? Thank you, guys. You guys are good, especially since we just had it. And so Thanksgiving, I was kind of worried what I was going to do for Thanksgiving. I figured Pastor Craig and Marilyn would take pity on me and invite me over for Thanksgiving, and so I could enjoy Thanksgiving. But within 3 days here, I had an invitation to go to a house for Thanksgiving. The Smiths invited me, Mark, Leslie, and Michael and Daniel invited me to come over for Thanksgiving, and I was really moved, and I didn't really realize what I was getting into at that point. Because it wasn't just the Smiths. It was like the O'Neill / Schleif family. It was the Terrys. It was a bunch of these people that were over there. And I know there was part of an ulterior motive. They wanted to see what the new youth pastor was that's going to be helping to raise their kids. But it was one of the most joyous experiences that I've ever had in my life. And I just had my sixth Thanksgiving here. And that core group of people has basically stayed the same for those 6 years. And I know they were meeting before that. In fact, this last Thanksgiving, I had 25 people in my garage, and this group of friends We ate in my garage. We weren't just hanging out in my garage. We had lights, twinkle lights, and tables out and all this thing. And they came over to my house. And the friendships that we have formed as a group of friends over those now going 6 years has been an amazing experience for me. It's helped me grow as a man and helped me grow closer as God. And I get a little emotional about this and how they've changed and affected me in my life. And I thank God for them every day because that's what friendship is supposed to be. And I'll be honest, it hasn't always been easy over the last, 5.5 years. We've had disagreements and we've had some arguments. But the thing is, we always come back together. We always forgive each other. And we have things that's happened in our lives that would separate normal friends, but the reason we keep coming back together is because ultimately we have Jesus Christ at the center of that relationship. And that's what it's about. We're able to forgive each other, love each other beyond what normal people do because of that. And I want you to think about today's society. Today, it seems like Republicans can't be friends with Democrats and Democrats can't be friends with Republicans. You look on Facebook, people defriend each other because you don't support the same political party or, the same ethnic background or whatever it is. Friendships have become so superficial and so transitory today. There are few real friendships. And a lot of it, I think, is because we don't have Christ at the center of it. And we're going to talk about that. Proverbs 18:24, and Pastor Judd last week spoke about this a little bit. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. We're called to be in those deep, abiding friends. And if you're older than 8, you've probably had unreliable friends. And if you're older than 8, you've probably been that unreliable friend. And I hate to say that, I've been that way too. And, it says that though our friends are brothers and sisters. This group of us who get together at Thanksgiving, we also get together several times throughout the year, and a lot of it is because none of us have family beyond the immediate family that are here. A couple of years ago, Pastor Craig preached about traveling on Christmas Eve, and there was like 400 people, in this room. And he asked the congregation, who here is a native Charlottonian? Who's from the metropolitan area here, Charlotte? 400 people, maybe 2 dozen people raised their hands. Because most people here are from somewhere else. And so friendships, of what Christ does in that friendship, become so important to be able to do life together, to be able to grow together. Because if we don't have them, the Bible says we are going to come to ruin. So what does friendships look like? I did do a study, Psychology Today. I went on their website and looked up articles about friendship and read some. And they've done studies about what friends do to us. This is what friends do to us from a non-quote religious aspect. They help us live longer. If you have friends, deep friends, not just the surface ones, but deep friends, you are going to live longer. You'll have more joy. You're going to have less stress. You're going to get over sickness sooner and less depression. Now, this isn't your spouse. This is friends outside of your marriage. Live longer, more joy, less stress, get over sickness sooner, less depression. Now, especially the less sickness thing has really come to mind lately for me. A year ago in January, I got the flu like half the congregation did, and I was home for like 5 or 6 days. And I had so many people here and people call me up and going, hey, Pastor Bill, do you need any food? What's going on? And I'm hacking up and stuff. And I'm like, orange juice, chicken soup, click. And so, a little while later, someone would knock on my door, and I'd crawl with my blanket to the door, open it up, and there's food package right there on the doorstep. And then there's like Denise Deal, like way back here going, Matt Wilson did the same thing, and he's like, Matt, Bill, I would give you a hug, but my wife's pregnant. I'm like, yeah, it's all right. I had the flu. I look like I'm death warmed over. But they would come and bring food to me and drop it off. I wasn't looking for a hug. I didn't want to hug anyone when I was like, had that flu. So friendships, they help us become deeper in relationship with each other, and they have their practical aspect too. And really, when we work, when we do our work in friendships, the Holy Spirit does his, and this does bring us together. God has designed us to be in a relationship. Pastor Judd talked about this last week, how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one but separate. And they all work together. And we're to model our lives and our friendships after that deep abiding thing. In fact, I believe that friendships bring us deeper into our relationship with who Jesus Christ is. Because we're all looking for something larger than us. Now, we strive for friendships too oftentimes. This is what the world has as friends. Like I said, we just kind of keep these surface things going on, and we're afraid to go into something that's going to be deeper than that. And so, but God calls us to look beyond ourselves and look at individuals, and God calls us to be in those deep, abiding relationships. Now, as a single person, as a single adult, but even as a single adolescent, a college student, or someone who's maybe lost a spouse or divorced, it's really easy for us to isolate ourselves. It's really easy to, and I do this sometimes too, it's really easy for me to, like, on a Saturday, just like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I'm going to watch Netflix and binge or something on that. And I know as a single person, it's easy for me, when I isolate myself is when I start looking inward. When I isolate myself, that's when I start getting negative thoughts and becoming sinful and thinking of wrong thoughts and changes. It's really easy for me to just start being full of self-pity because I don't have that network of friends, or I think I don't have that network of friends, and I isolate myself. But even as a couple with kids, it's easy to isolate yourselves in just you and ever how many kids you have or whatever's going on in your household, and it becomes all self-centered about us. Because we don't want to live, we don't want to take the time, and it's just easier to be here. It's just easier to do this. And we start spiraling down in our relationship with God. We wonder where God's went, but we're not willing to be in community and live out our lives like God's calling us to do. We're not willing to live with someone else in community. And we wonder why our life is tanking. It's because we're not willing to be in relationships with others. We're not willing to be in life-giving relationships. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." So we're talking about the types of friendships that go deeper than just on those surface things. Friendships really matter. If you're in the bad company, it will change who you are. You know, does your friendships bring you up? Do your friendships bring you down? Why do we have people in our lives that suck the life out of us? The Bible is clear, but our life experience is that way too. So I believe that when we do our work and the Holy Spirit does his, that we'll grow together. And, you know, as men, it's hard for us sometimes to share those emotions and have those deep friendships because we just want to, like, you know, be our own little thing, our own little island, and go deep, and we'll talk about surface stuff. But then when we do that, it causes isolation. It causes, you know, we're out drinking or we're out doing whatever to ease the pain because of what's going on in our lives. Women have the same issues, though, with friends, too. They have different issues. You know, I've known a lot of women who use relationships as weapons against each other because they're not willing to forgive. So we don't know how to do friendships from a worldly point of view. But God's view of friendships will change us and change our relationship, and I believe it'll grow us deeper. Now, like I said, when we do our work and the Holy Spirit does his, we'll grow deeper together. Now, in the Bible, there's only a few places in the gospel that Jesus really says, pay attention, I mean this one, I want this at the forefront of your knowledge, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. There's only a few places in the Bible that Jesus is really that emphatic and forefront of everything you do. When he does, I believe it deserves special notice. So in John 15, 1 through 17, this is the night before that Jesus is killed. Jesus gave one of those talks to his disciples and to his friends, and he says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He said, reminding me, and I think all of us, that I am to not live on my own as an individual branch, but I am to hang out, to be connected with fellow branches. If Jesus is the vine, and we're all by ourselves as one branch that's sort of hanging out there, we're not going to bear fruit. We're not going to grow. We're not going to multiply. We're not going to be effective for the kingdom of God. God is calling us all to hang out together, to be those disciples that are together, not to be in isolation. And then in verse 12 and again in verse 17, so he says this twice in this passage. He says, "This is my command, love each other." Love each other. So if you're a branch hanging out with another branch, you're called to love each other, not tolerate each other, not to have those surface friends, but to love each other. These are among the last direct words that Jesus says to his closest friends hours before he's to be killed. The importance of this new command, especially in his final hour, cannot be overstated. Jesus' command to love each other is at the heart and the mission of his message. We can't love each other if we don't go out and spread the good news of who Jesus is. That's not saying we love each other. If we're not in community, we're not saying we love each other. So Jesus is saying we're to love each other. It's at the very heart of his mission and his message. Ephesians 4, 16. Paul reminds all the gathered followers of Jesus that intimate relationships and connectedness is a partnership of the work of God through the Spirit and the work of people. I'm going to say that again. Paul reminds the gathered followers that Jesus said that the intimate relationships and connectedness is a partnership of the work of God through the Spirit and the work of people. And it says this, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Each part of us is called to do our work. If God bounds us together in friendship and life as a house of children and friends, because we are children of God and friends, it is up to each of us to do our work and part of that to grow together. He's calling us to engage with each other, to listen, to encourage, to support one another. We do our work and the Holy Spirit does his. Now, in all four Gospels, Jesus makes it really clear. We find life when we give it away. We find life when we give it away to each other. When we hold on to our existence and our stuff, we become selfish and we distance ourselves from God. We are to give our lives away to someone else. It saves us, it brings us joy, peace, and companionship. Intentional friendships that go beyond the surface will change how you relate to yourselves, to each other, and to God. When you isolate yourself from God. But how do we do that? How do we go from, you know, when we do our work, the Holy Spirit does his, that we grow together? Well, what's a good sermon without 6 points? So I'm going to tell you 6 points of this friendship. And I kind of want to share a little bit about each point and what it means to me. The first is Jesus is at the center of these friendships I'm talking about. This is what it says in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all the virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unity." So when we love each other and have Christ as the center of it, we're going to be compassionate, gentle, humility, kindness. We put on these virtues. Now, I've known my best friend for 30 years. And we met in college. He was 18 and I was 21. And we knew each other before we were Christians. And, you know, we had a great time and we were close and stuff. And I'd go home with him and all these types of things and hang out. And it was a great friendship. And, you know, he lives here in the area now and this is great. But the thing I've noticed is our friendship has changed over the years, obviously, because he was 18 and I was 21. And the reason why I think it's changed deeper is because that we're both followers of who Jesus Christ is now. When I think of all the stuff we've been... When I think of all the stuff we've been through in 30 years, I mean, I can't tell you all the stuff we've been through in 30 years. As he's grown in relationship with Christ, as I've grown in relationship with Christ, we've become on mission together and seeing each other grow. To grow in family and life together has meant the world to me. It's got me through some of the darkest hours of my life. And I hope it has in his too. But it's because we have Jesus at the center of it. And every other part that I'm going to talk about in friendship is because it goes deeper than just that surface. Time. Second thing I have is that if we have Christ at the center, then you need to have time added afterwards. I think time is the most precious commodity nowadays. It's easy to write a check too often for something. You know, here's $100, or here's $20, here's $5. But time costs us so much. This is what it says in Romans 12, 5. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we're called to belong to each other, and you can't belong to each other unless you have time together. We use excuses. We use, you know, I need to hang out with my wife or my kids or my, I think we all use our job too often as an excuse to spend time with each other. But if you really have a Christ-centered relationship, and I believe every single person here, man and woman, is called to have a friendship. A man's called to have another friendship outside of their marriage with another man, and a woman's called to have friendship outside of their marriage with another woman. I mean, I've been trying to get together with another guy out here as a friend for 6 weeks. We keep making excuses. Oh, this and this and this and this. But if we're friends and actually say we care about each other, why aren't we willing to sacrifice something to be in that friendship, to be healthier and to be in that friendship? Because when you spend time with someone, you can talk to them about your spouse, other issues that are going on that maybe you can't talk to your spouse about. But we just make excuses. And so we lose friendships. We lose part of who we are. But if God is saying we're called to be together, each member belongs to all the others, we have to take the time to do it. You will not have friends unless you're willing to spend time with each other. So once you have Jesus and time, the third thing is trust. This is from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I've been to so many weddings where these passages are read, but it's really used inappropriately at weddings. It's not talking about sexual love or the love between a spouse. It's talking about love that God has for us, that we're called to have for each other. And so we're called to trust someone, to bear all things, to go deep, to be in those relationships. And we trust others because we trust God. Our friendships are a reflection of how we do and relate to God. I sincerely believe that. Do you have someone in your life that you could go to and tell them, hey, I'm addicted to this. My wife is cheating on me. My kids are doing drugs. Or the worst thing in your life, can you have a friend that you could do that to? And they will not react. They will not go, oh my gosh, and jump back. Because friends are someone you could tell your deepest secret with, that they could hold it over your head if they chose to, but they don't. You only have that with Christ at the center of it. It's not about asking someone to move But really, you know, hey, you know, Ron, can I borrow your pickup truck and help come and help me move? It's about who you're going to call at 2 in the morning when your life starts crashing down around you. Who is that for you? If you don't have someone like that, then you need to find someone. Do you trust them to bring you joy and to fill you up and not to bring you down? If you have friends you can't trust to bring, that fill you up and that don't bring you down, they're not your friends. So Jesus, time, trust, they all build on each other. Number 4 is love. This is from 1 John 4:20. For whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now, we've over-sexualized love, and you know, the English language has one word for love. I love Mexican food like I love, you know, my spouse, like I love my dog. Well, not really. But the Greeks had several words for love, and one of the biggest words is called agape. And agape means I choose you to love you no matter what's going on in your life. It talks about God's love for us, that he sent his son to die for us because he loves us. He agapes us. He loves me, Bill McKinley, in all my messed up and sinful life because he's choosing to do that every single time, all the time. So God is saying here, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. You cannot love God unless you're in deep friendships, I believe is what it's saying. Because that friendship will become a reflection of what God is to us and the love that he has for us. Someone you love that you could share your junk with, your joys with, and your life with. So you have Jesus at the center, you have the time you spend, the trust, the stuff you're able to share, the love that you have, and then 5 is forgiveness. This is from Matthew 18, 20 through 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter was always asking these weird things. It's just like, and Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother or sister sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Forgiveness is the hardest thing that we do in our lives because we want to hold on to things. I remember I had this friend who, I don't know, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, I just screwed him over. I was a rotten friend. I hurt him, and I think if we had just a normal worldly friendship that he would just said, forget it, you're gone. I wouldn't have blamed him. Because what I did was really painful to him and to his family. But because we started having all these things in our lives together, the time, the trust, I think even Jesus was there at that time, the love for each other, he was able to say, Bill, I forgive you. And that just changed my life. And I think one of the reasons why I'm a Christian now is because he said, I forgive you. There's so much amazing freedom and healing and forgiveness. But you really can't forgive someone unless you have Christ at the center of it. God says at one point in the Lord's Prayer is like, you know, basically, I'll forgive you as you forgive others. Jesus says he wants us to forgive each other in our deep, abiding friendships. But you could only forgive someone if you spend time, trust, and love each other. And the last one, the 6th point, so if you have Jesus, if you have time, trust, love, forgiveness, is joy. Because you have to have joy. It says this in Philemon 1 through 7, and it's interesting. I don't think I've ever quoted Philemon in a sermon in 30 years. It's like one chapter long, and this is what it says. This is such a key knowledge point, though. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother or sister, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Paul is saying that he finds great joy because this brother in Christ has refreshed the heart in his heart. It's not just temporary fun, but it's joy. In other words, I'm asking, is this your friends, are they life-giving to you? Or do they suck the life out of you? Joy is so much fun. It's so important. All these attributes are great when the troubles come and the storms rage and all this stuff and having that person there. But do you have fun with them? Now, I mean, if my friends asked me to go jump out of an airplane, I'd be going, you know, there's no good reason to jump out of a perfectly good working airplane. I would go watch them jump out of an airplane and I'd laugh at them. But do you have joy with them? Can you sit and watch, you know, something on TV? Like can you go and watch a ball game with someone and not have a conversation and just watch the ball game? But sometimes with our surface friends, you feel like you have to have that conversation going on or it just feels awkward. But do you have those friends that you could sit and go and do? Are you there when their kids are baptized? Are you there when they graduate from high school? They ask their prom dates out or those celebrations in life. I look back, kind of back to the beginning of my sermon here, this group of people that I've been doing life with together for the last, you know, 5.5 years, and so much fun. It's not just every Thanksgiving we get together. We get together and we laugh at each other. I'd say with each other, we do, but we also laugh at each other in all honesty. But we do it because we have this deep, abiding friendship with Christ that's at the center of it. We find joy in each other. We've celebrated with each other's kids as they've graduated high school and go on to college, or we celebrate with each other as they've struggled. We've celebrated and we've been there with each other when maybe we've lost a parent, or when there's other struggles or marriage issues. Because that's what doing life together in friendship is about. But the only way this happens is with Christ at the center. Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in this intimate community. And God calls us to do the same thing, because we can't see God if we don't have these deep abiding friends. Just think a moment. How would your life be different if you had a couple deep abiding friendships with Jesus in the middle of it? You'd start rearranging your schedule so you could spend time with him and start realizing in your life what's important and what's not important. You know, watching, you know, 15 hours of the latest Netflix series is not as important as being there for your friend and hanging out and going to do something, taking yourself out of isolation. Or have your friend over and binge watch together, you know, the latest 15 hours of whatever's on Netflix. When you start realizing you're rearranging your schedule and giving your life away to someone else, you're going to grow and change and develop a better relationship with God. Your family life will grow and change. If you have a better friendship outside of your marriage with someone, not a better, but if you have a good friendship outside of your marriage with someone, your friendship with your spouse will grow too. Because you're not just totally relying on your spouse for every single thing right now either. You're growing deeper in that relationship with that person that God has wedded you together. You're able to talk and grow. And sometimes your friends have to tell you, hey, Bill, you need to really step it up with your relationship with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever. And they're able to hold you accountable in some aspects of your life that your spouse can't. When you have these deep abiding friendships, you're on mission together. You're able to bring Jesus out into the world. God calls us to be in community and not to separate ourselves. Now, I'm not saying, there's 350 people, 400 people on the average Sunday of worship. I can't be friends with every single person here, but I have friendships in this congregation that I'm able to do life with and go out and have those intimate relationships and talks with, and that's what God's calling us to do. People that love you in spite of all your junk. Really is another word I'd like to use, but I'm up on stage. But really, think about that. Do you have people that love you in spite of the junk in your life? That they put you above them? You know, when I talk to the teenagers, I say, this is, for me, the definition of love, is that I want better for you than I want for myself. That's what love is. Do you have friends like that? Because I believe when you have those deep, abiding friendships, every relationship that you have, work, home, kids, will change. But I believe most of all, those deep, abiding friendships will bring you closer to the living relationship that you need to have with Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is from John 15, 9 through 14. As the Father has lit... As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus is saying this to his disciples, his followers, his friends in this room. So he's saying, just as God loves me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He's saying we're called to love each other to find joy in who Jesus Christ is. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you don't have these deep abiding friends, if you keep having a surface relationship, you're not going to ever know who Jesus Christ is fully. And I receive the love of Jesus Christ from every single person that's around me that I am friends with. Through the good times, the bad times, the struggles, the joys. I mean, if you really want a deeper friendship, you have to seek God. If you want to know who God is, you have to seek out friendships. It's going to cost you. You have to have that Jesus in your life, time, trust, love, forgiveness, joy. But when you start doing those things, when we start, as it said in Ephesians 4, 16, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, we will gain those friendships. When we do our work in our friendships and build each other up, the Holy Spirit is going to do his. And that, my friends, is how we grow together. That is how we're going to change the world, because we love each other and care for each other and bringing friendship out into a world that so desperately lives alone. Let's pray. Father God, Father God, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the friends that I've had from when I was a little guy, Mike Call and Jerry Kelly, and I just ask a blessing on their lives, Lord, and all the friends throughout the years that have had impacts on my life. And as I look out in this congregation, all the friendships that we've had who help make us who we are, Lord. Draw us closer into relationships with you, Lord, though, so that we're able to have those friendships that change us and that we can see and receive the love of Christ through. Sometimes we're the only Bible that someone will see is how we act and behave towards each other, Lord. Move in our hearts to grow into deepness with each other. Thank you for this amazing group of friends that I've been doing life with out here for the last 5 years and six Thanksgivings, Lord. Thank you for the struggles. And I thank you for the healing that's always taken place in that, because that Christ is at the center. Renew us right now, Lord. Help us to see Jesus in each other. Help us to love each other by obeying God's commandments and love the brothers and sisters around us, so that we could go out in the world, we'd be the hands and feet, the love.